Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Hey, welcome back to part two of today's Carolla Classics. Let's get going with another round of Banks Bracket Madness and hear some more songs from the musical stylings of Rich Banks.
Virtuoso, comedic genius, second in line to Weird Al, Rich Banks. It's Adam Carolla Show 2540, Dana Gould, RJ Bell, Gina Grad, Brian Bishop. The very next day, Banks Bracket Madness continuing once again.
Welcome back to Banks Bracket Madness, where the contenders are disappearing faster than Adam's St. Archer beer. Recapping the final matches of the round of 32. In the intro conference, the drunk tank committed a hate crime and bashed gay walking out of the competition. And in the Carolla conference, straight out of NoHo, popped a cap in the ass of Born to Be Annoyed. Before we review today's matchups, let's listen to another song from the Carolla Conference that didn't make it past the first round of the tournament. It's a medley and was once played in 2012 after Adam got fired by our future president.
Cars, they are your thing. And you lost to a girl who sings. Jokes they did not admire. In a fake boardroom, Trump said you're fired. Hey, Donald Trump, what you fire him for? At least I don't have to watch your show no more. Carolla's time expired. Ooh, Ace got fired. The sling box didn't work, that's true. Women's sports were getting tired. The Hulk didn't care for you. There's one white guy not getting hired. Lost to ladies, Ace got fired. Lost to ladies, Ace got fired. Trump said, Ace man, you're fired.
I love peppering these ones in there. Like, yeah, that's a little more great. For the warm meat.
I've never heard such a spot on Bruce Springsteen. I didn't know he had it in him.
God, the more I think about that, like, one of the big knocks in the boardroom that was coming my direction is like, why didn't Michael Andretti, well, he's the car guy, why didn't Michael Andretti, why wasn't he the team captain on this challenge? And I'm like, because he said he didn't want to do it. And then everyone looked at me. He should have done it. Like, okay.
That may be true.
It still really shouldn't be my fault that he said, no, I don't want to do it. I think later on it was like he was sponsored by Honda or Toyota, and this was a Pontiac thing, and he's like, I don't want to do it. And then in real time, with 10 seconds to decide, everyone just looked at me and went, you do it. I went, I'll do it. And then it became, I don't get why you didn't let him do it. It's like, he didn't want to do it. You can fire me, but those shouldn't be minus points. It wasn't.
It
wasn't my decision.
The guy you want said no.
The guy said no. That's why. All right. Sorry.
The first of our two Sweet 16 matchups today is in the Christmas Conference, where your votes will decide which song advances. Is it Porcelain Punisher?
If it's plop, plop in the toilet, you plus the sound of him groaning, the bowl's overflowing, you know to stay clear. It's the Porcelain Punisher, the Porcelain Punisher. Finally.
Or Adam Yells.
Adam Yell.
Adam Yell.
Adam Yell. Such a piece of shit city. Au revoir.
Au revoir.
Tony Vallard.
Tony Vallard.
both so heartwarming.
Wow.
Put you in the holiday spirit.
The saddest part of this is... They're all winners.
They're all winners.
They're all strong.
They've all advanced. There are multiple songs about Matt Fondelier's bowels in this round.
Mm. You can go forward in
many
directions. They've advanced,
that's right.
Yeah.
Cast your votes at AdamCarolla.com. Our second Sweet 16 matchup is the Too Funny Not to Play Conference with 2,000 podcasts.
Dabble Jew, Bungalow Jew, definitely not a Jew. Rich man, poor man, Bollywood, Kalen. Taxes, fair share, Jeff Ross, Rose Eisen, and the goalposts. Guinness record from Gervais, Celebrity Apprentice. Made a movie, favorite tweets, red bracelet for eating beets. Do his best, not your best, window of negligence. He sold out Seattle's mall, Mangria's in your liquor store. What can he complain about? Mama's chanting freak out. He's the 2,000
heavyweight.
Yeah. That's going to be a tough one to beat.
Coming on the tits.
Oh. Drop sperm on her chest like paratroopers. Or instead just finish in her pooper.
In her pooper.
Simple fix, all you do is pull out your dicks and leave some man paste on her nips. Coming on the tits.
Yeah, the origin of that is we got to start a movement in Africa. Look, there's, you know, I think we want to save water in L.A. so we get people out of the habit of hosing down their driveway and getting them into sweeping their driveway.
Yeah,
little things like that, yeah. Or carpooling or something like that. I feel like Africa, the finishing.
Yeah.
That's a big, that could be impactful.
Big part of it, yeah.
Bill Gates going to solve a few problems, but
that's everyone, temporary.
Everyone listen to the Ace Man.
There's a lot of generational impact.
The utopia there.
Cast your votes at AdamCarolla.com to see who will advance to the Elite Eight. And tune in tomorrow for more Banks Bracket Madness.
The boys in the back printed out a bracket, an actual bracket with all the songs on it. I'm looking at it. The winner of 2000 podcasts and coming on the tits, I think that's whoever comes out of that brutal matchup, that bloody matchup, is going to probably go all the way.
Take the crown.
That's a juggernaut right there.
Yeah.
And that was some more Banks Bracket Madness from 2019. Let's get going with our final clip of the day. And this is a request from listener Kathy. Kathy writes, I really enjoyed an episode Adam did with Vitaly Klitschko. It's quite old, maybe 2010. They talked about he and his brothers training as fighters. It was a very interesting interview and somewhat relevant in today's climate, as Vitaly is currently Kiev's mayor. Well, Kathy, that was all the way back in 2012, and yeah, it is relevant today. So why don't we go and take a listen to one of the Klitschko bros.
This is Amcrol Show 805, Vladimir Klitschko. So if there's a separate episode of Vitaly I didn't find, or maybe a take a knee or something slipped in there that maybe she was referring to, or maybe she was talking about this one, Vladimir, we'll find out after we play it. If so, we'll play the other one. If we can find it, if it exists. I don't think so. This is Amcrol Show 805. Adam falls in love with Vladimir. It's a great interview. He sticks around for the news with Allison Rosen and Brian Bishop. April of 2012. Very timely indeed. Thanks for reminding us, Kathy.
Excited. Heavyweight champ Vladimir Klitschko in studio. He's going to fight Tony Thompson July 7th in Switzerland. You can watch it on Epix, E-P-I-X, and check out his website, Klitschko.com. You can Twitter him at Klitschko. Nice to see you, Vladimir, by the way.
Good to see you guys, and especially very pleasant and good to meet you, Adam.
I love...
And the rest of the group, of course. Yeah. I'm sorry,
thank
guys.
You.
I always laugh because... Emmanuel Stewart, who I believe trained you and trains you.
Yes.
Whenever he talks about you, I watched a fight game. Whenever he talks about you, he calls you Latimer. He does not call you Vladimir. He calls you Latimer. I don't know if you've noticed that or
not. Well, you know, it's a Michigan accent.
Is that what it is? Because you're like, well, Latimer's got a very good jab, and Latimer doubles up the jab and then follows with the cross, and Latimer, and it's like, I'm like, it's not Latimer, it's Vladimir.
It's actually first time you're the first person, I'm the first person with such accent, you know, in the studio at least. that's paying attention to it, because I was also like listening to him, and I think he's saying Latimer instead of Vladimir, so he's missing the V.
But
you know what? In English, actually, W don't really pronounce with my name, and I'm spelling it with W L A D I M R.
Right.
So not like a regular way with V.
Right.
But it's the German way. So V in German is V, means like F.
Well, it's like Wagner and Wagner, I guess.
Uh-huh.
So what's your what is your path? You start off in don't you start off in Russia and end up in Germany, or is it the other way around?
Okay,
let's hear the path.
It's 36 years of the past, and I think it's going to really take a long time to explain, but I will make the long story short.
Sure.
And I'm Ukrainian that was made in Kazakhstan,
mm-hmm.
And eventually was growing up in Czech Republic or Czechoslovakia, mm-hmm. if we look back in the history. And in Prague, and then from 1985, our family moved to the Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
So the family is still in Ukraine, living,
right.
And I'm going back and forth back to this country. And I do live in Germany because I started my professional career after the Olympic Games 1996 in Germany, mm-hmm. because my promoter was German. And that's why I'm traveling a lot. So I do live in the States, in Hollywood, Florida.
Baby. Florida.
Florida.
For tax purposes.
That's so right. The other part of the family lives here in Bel Air. Mm-hmm. And so I'm kind of spread out everywhere. And basically, I'm living on the plane or in the plane.
It's great to see how close you and your brother are, and I know, and I watched a fight. You had a great fight, well, not for you, but for Lehman Brewster, about 5-6 years ago. When was the first Lehman Brewster fight? And people thought you lost your heart or something. They thought you're not as tough as you should be. You're big, you're strong, but you didn't have the heart. And basically, you've been proving them wrong ever since. Was that a turning point for you? Did you hear what people were saying and not like it? Did you decide to change? Or what actually happened at that moment?
I'll tell you what happened. And something terrible happened. So I lost 2 fights in a row.
Right.
I mean, not really in a row, but 2 big fights, championship fights during 11 months.
Right. And you're 57 and 3, so 2 in a row, or
yeah.
2 in a short period of time is a lot.
It was kind of really dramatic, but what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And I definitely had too much success in the early years. I was 20 when I won Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
I was 24 when I was first heavyweight championship belt,
right.
WBO. And there was a period of time that I got a little bit, I kind of lost the focus. And,
mm-hmm.
and whatever happened in the Brewster fight is history. And I was leading and I lost eventually. And I had time to analyze what the mistakes were, and I went on the bottom of the floor of the sport, and it was criticized that I have no chin, no heart,
right.
No other things.
Sure, balls.
Thank you. And
and well, I'm just saying
and
what
you know
what?
I kind of yeah, you cannot take the words from the story, right?
Right.
And just I had time to realize it, and it's such a great thing to be an athlete, and great thing to perform, and great thing to be involved in a sport, and such a great sport as boxing is. And I just, you know, stuck to it, into it, and I started to work with Emanuel Stewart on this Brewster fight. That was our first fight,
mm-hmm.
that we worked together.
He said
which ended up with a failure. Yeah.
Oh, really? That was your first fight?
That was my first fight working with Emanuel Stewart. And,
right.
But you know what? Emanuel is an amazing guy because he had proved it with Oliver McCall when he was in the corner against Lennox Lewis. Then he switched the corners, so he picked up Lennox Lewis when he was not really a winner.
Oliver McCall is a guy who broke down, had a mental breakdown in the ring during the fight.
Oh, so he was crying?
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was a famous clip.
He
yeah.
is one of the only guys. I mean, there's been guys, you know, there's been the famous Roberto Duran, No Mas, and a few things, you know, a few guys sort of quitting in the ring. But this guy had
sobbing.
Literally had a breakdown. And I always feel bad for the guy who's supposed to keep punching him, because it's like, do I keep punching the guy who's
it's
crying?
Good tactic.
Tears filled with Vaseline rolling down his cheeks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of a weird situation for a boxer. I agree with you. I had experienced actually the same kind of thing here in Los Angeles at Staples Center. That was not before the fight or during the fight. That was after the fight. If you remember, my brother Vitaly was fighting Chris Arreola. It was kind of the same thing. And understand Chris, he just got really upset about it, you know, because his family was at the arena and there was a lot of fans.
And Chris is, you know, he's Hispanic. He's from here. He's the first, you know, would have been the first heavyweight. First Mexican heavyweight champion, I think, of all time. And he's like, one of these guys just farts on, fights on heart and emotion. You probably shouldn't say fight and heart.
Maybe he
right
farts
after.
On height.
Yeah. he farts on height and emotion. And he just got whipped up, but he was, Vitaly was just, you know, too much.
That was too much. But he has been improving himself. So, I mean, he showed great performance in his last fights, and he's really, like, ready for a championship.
Well, should there be a super heavyweight division in professional boxing like there is in Olympic boxing? Because obviously you guys, with your height and your reach and your weight and your strength, it's too much for a guy who's 6'1 and 225.
Well, on one side you're right, on the other side you're wrong, because my next opponent is going to be Tony Thompson out of Washington, D.C., and I'm going to fight him second time to defend my IBF title. And I fought him once in 2008. It was such a tough fight. He's as tall as I, and he's a southpaw, so which is not such a regular thing for such a tall guy in boxing.
Right.
It's even difficult to find any sparring partner.
Who's southpaw?
Same size, exactly.
Adam Carolla
in the heavyweight division.
Yeah,
man, that's your sparring partner right there.
That's gonna be too expensive.
What they
can't
do?
Afford it.
what they do now? I do believe if you're a southpaw, they'll turn you around, and they'll turn you into an orthodox fighter. If a young guy comes into a gym and he's left-handed, they'll usually turn you to orthodox.
It seems like it would be a natural advantage to be a left-hander, though.
I think that the thinking is this, and you can ask Emmanuel if he would turn a guy around. I'll stand up and do a little demonstration. You can create...
Oh, please. Make Klitschko sit there. And
long reach.
You can create power from your back arm, even if it's your weak arm, because you're turning your hips. And the Klitschkos both do a very nice job of throwing good straight crosses. They're good long. They're long guys who throw straight crosses. But it's hard to create power with your front arm because you don't have the hip turn. It's not cocked back naturally. But if it's your strong arm, they'll make that your strong arm, put it up front, and you'll have some pop in your left hook. And the right cross, well, that'll take care of itself because you'll be able to throw that. I'll give you a demonstration.
No, I do cardio kickboxing. I know exactly what you mean.
Natural question to follow up first. Why not turn right-handers around? They're the same thing, and they're harder to defend.
That's a damn good question, and I've never met anyone who's really smart who trained boxers, so they never have a good answer for you. But it's basically – now, you guys are going to have to talk whilst they do this. But it's basically I'm left-handed, but if I stood with my right back, I can – turn my hip and snap.
Dude, you can box. Look at this.
He's really good.
I mean, seriously.
Oh, please.
You probably want some of the golden gloves.
I did do the golden gloves.
Yeah?
Yes.
So how was it?
It wasn't satisfying.
Okay.
I didn't have the success you had.
Still looking good. Your shadow boxing is really impressive.
Oh, thanks. You can.
I'm not blowing smoke up you, but I'm just saying what I see.
Stop me if I'm wrong. The great Vladimir Klitschko here, by the way. Genius. Genius. Say this. You can watch a guy shadow box for 4 seconds and know whether he knows how to box or not. Is that correct?
I can watch a guy walk down the street and I pretty much see his body language because that's a language. So,
right.
He's, what's Adam's body saying?
It says he's walking very loose. You know, it means that he's self-confident and there is no... There is no. What was that? It was
all right. I'm
going to
give you a little.
Smoke,
I'll give you a little. I'll give you a little bit. So, you got to tell. All right. Ready?
All right. Adam's positioning himself.
Okay.
He's warming up.
Yeah, he's getting loose.
All right.
Now he's punching the air.
He's a self.
He just ducked.
Right, left, right.
And is he?
Is it right? Right. Left.
That's listen. Amazing.
I turn
amazing.
My book over and then.
Uppercut. Quick uppercut.
Amazing. Really, really good work. Good job.
There you go. Thank you.
Good job. Listen, I'm really impressed because not many people that are leading the radio show can box or shadow box. So it's
maybe
it's,
you've never heard of a name called Tom Likas before.
Tip of my tongue.
Wow.
But you know, it's amazing. It's amazing because you're just commentating what Adam was doing, and I met a guy in New York. He was blind, and he was with a female that came to us with my brother. We were in New York. Vitaly was fighting at Madison Square Garden against Kirk Johnson, and she came over and said, please tell to my friend who you are. So we said, okay. We saw that he was blind, obviously, and he had a dog with him, and we said, okay, we're Klitschko brothers. Mm-hmm. And he said, I could not believe. And he explained everything, what we look like, what was the weight, what was the opponent's shorts,
right.
What color and everything. So he explained all of the facts of the fights. And it was amazing that actually radio can do such a magic. And he said, I don't like to watch the fights on the TV. I like to watch it on the radio.
On
the radio.
In a weird way, listening to a baseball game on the radio is more exciting. You won't do it, but if you're ever in your car.
I agree.
And you're listening, or even a football game, like that thing where your team's playing, and it's the fourth quarter, and he drops back, and he's found an open, he's got pressure, no, he's broken out. It's like, it's exciting.
There are certain sports that definitely lend itself to the radio broadcast. Boxing, probably, and baseball, for sure.
So would you ever fight your brother? Number one.
Will I ever fight my brother? You probably heard this answer, or
yes.
you can imagine. So we're going definitely to break our mother's heart.
Sure.
There's no doubt. So even the winner of this fight will be a loser. So no one knows.
A loser with $40 million in their
pocket. You know what? Screw the money. Seriously. How much money cost your mother's heart?
Oh, me? I could go to the ATM and wouldn't even hit my limit. But
there is definitely priceless. So the mother's heart is priceless, and
what
we have only one.
What about Lennox Lewis coming out of retirement? Has there been some talk of that?
I've heard about it a lot, that Lennox wants to come back, and he's obviously watching the fights, and he's like, okay, I'm probably going to take those guys, mm-hmm. or one of them, and who knows? Recently, there was a link emailed to me, Lennox Lewis jumping the rope and showing his skills, and he's looking pretty good shape. I think he's 46 now.
Yeah, but, you know, George Foreman did it at about that age.
It did.
And so if Lennox Lewis does come out for a fight, who fights him, you or your brother? Because you can make a pretty good argument for each.
I think I'm probably going to sound a little bit arrogant from me, but it's going to be a mismatch. If mm-hmm. he's fighting me, I mean, considering
the age.
and the break
right.
that he had. And listen, I have all the respect for Lennox Lewis, and he was a great champion, and I think that he gave such an amazing fight to Vitaly when they fought.
Yes,
I think it was exciting.
Big
it was
fight.
Here in Los Angeles,
Staples Center, and Vitaly earned about as many points as you can earn in a loss. In that fight, because Lennox busted him up pretty good. I mean, he definitely had some stitches.
And the other way around.
Fight. Oh yeah, but
he wasn't
showed,
one-sided.
No, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it to sound that way. He did very well in the early rounds, and he got cut, and he got cut badly. But he fought on bravely, and at the end, Lennox Lewis won the fight. But Vitaly got a ton of credit. For showing a ton of heart.
It's definitely Vitaly ended up this fight as a people's champion. That's how I see it. And actually, eventually he ended up on Jay Leno's show. And you know what's the funny part? He's like, what's your name? So now we have Vitaly. How many stitches did he get after the fight? 60? Vitaly Stitchko. No, Jay. Klitschko. Don't mess up with our family name.
Did he really get 60 stitches?
He got all stitches. It was really... really bad cut, or a couple of cuts, actually.
Sure.
And but you know what? With the time and good plastic surgeries, you don't see anything.
Yeah. You guys both look brand new. You want to hang out and do some news
you
with
know,
us?
You know, I take those compliments from a female, not from a man.
Oh, come on.
I agree.
Again, the fight July 7th in Switzerland. Why Switzerland?
Because they have a soccer stadium, and it's actually going to be a Klitschko event at the 8th soccer stadium in a row. which is really exciting. And they have a stadium. They want to have us. And they just invited us. And, you know, we're going to do everything to have you here. And that's what's actually going to happen on July 7th. And it's going to be broadcast in the States on Epix.
Mm-hmm.
It's a new broadcaster that is improving, especially with the Klitschko fights.
Sure.
So getting its own fan base. And memberships and whatever you need to worry. It's actually free, I guess.
When does Vitaly fight next?
Vitaly is okay. I don't know.
Who would he like to fight?
Probably in September.
Uh-huh. Who's he looking to fight?
And I can't even tell you. I can't even tell you right now because there are a couple of names, and my fight is the next fight. We actually fight all the time with each other. Because we have lack of opponents, you know, it's not so easy to find good quality of opponents for a fight. So, and it's like, who's gonna get who? And I remember we got in real, I mean, not real fight, but like arguing with each other, who is going to fight David Haye?
Mm-hmm.
And so we throw a coin eventually, and I won, so I got the fight. But can you believe, you know, throw a coin with your brother? Who's,
right.
Who's gonna pick?
Two professional
who's
boxers.
Gonna pick the cherries? You know,
right.
And so I'm not ready to tell you right now who is going to be his next opponent. Who knows? Maybe even David Haye going to come back.
Is there somebody in the heavyweight division that may not be ready for a title fight yet, but we should keep our eye on in
yes.
the next 20, in the next 2-3 years?
What's your weight?
Love this man.
Okay, listen. No, there are two names that I want to mention, and because you said right before the show, you know, tell. Oh, no, that was your colleague.
Mm-hmm.
You know, tell whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm using the chance and partially promoting those guys. But I think Chris Arreola, we just talked about him, and I think he's a number one contender now at WBC, where Vitaly is champion, and one of the other federations where I'm champion. By the way, Klitschko brothers have all of them.
He's got some cool tattoos of like his whole entire family on his back and stuff like that too.
Yeah, and so he has been really good recently, and I think potentially he will be one of us of our opponents. And mm-hmm. there is an undefeated, great American fighter, Seth Mitchell, that
really?
Has been tremendously knocking the guys out. He's a former football player. But he has been performing just perfectly for a heavyweight that is building up himself. And
is there a guy that you've looked up to who was a champion from years ago? You know, a name maybe we've heard of from the maybe he wasn't a heavyweight, but as you were coming up, is there a guy that you admired? A guy that
of course that was Lennox Lewis. Everyone was looking up to him to fight him, and actually I was fighting an undercard of Lennox Lewis in Madison Square Garden in 2000. And I was so excited about it, first of all, to fight at the Garden. Second, you know, there's a champion that I actually have met and shook hands. And you're looking up to a person that you want to eventually fight with. And that was Lennox Lewis. And Mike Tyson was also, you know, still popular and active in those days.
Sure.
But not as he was in the 80s, you know. So I definitely had those two guys. And Evander Holyfield, I mean, come on. This is also active. Icon
Holyfield that's such a warrior.
He's a warrior, and he hasn't stopped yet. So he's not officially retired. So we're not going to see him Hall of Fame in the next 5 years, what is actually usually happening. So he's still active, and it's actually admiring with 50 years. I think he's pushing 50.
He's
to be in such a tremendous shape.
Hey, Holyfield is crazy because, first off, you know, he fought light heavyweight in the Olympics. And light heavyweight, people get used to the UFC at like 205. That's 176 or 175, 176 in the Olympics. So he fought at 176 in the Olympics, ended up getting robbed in the Los Angeles Olympics back in, I don't know, was that 84?
84.
Yeah, and knocked a guy out like a second after the bell rang, and they ended up just giving him the boot, and he fought for the bronze medal or something. So he kind of got screwed. But he was a dude who fought Mike Tyson when Mike Tyson was the scariest dude around, and his whole strategy with Tyson was, well, here's what you do with a bully. You beat up on him. And he just went toe-to-toe. He's just going like, oh, you want to trade hooks? We'll trade hooks. There wasn't any getting away from him or trying to drape on him. You know, other guys would sort of try to tie him up and, you know, and sort of lean on him and stay away from him. And Holyfield was like, I'm going to go beat this guy's ass. It was such a crazy mentality. And then when it came time to do it again, he's like, yeah, let's do it again. And he bit his ear off and he's like, yeah, I'll give him another shot.
I mean, it was a right strategy definitely against Mike Tyson. And as Emmanuel Stewart says, Latimer. Bully the bully.
Latimer. Yeah, bully.
Bully the bully.
Bully the bully. Yeah, don't run from the bully.
Is there a difference or any difference at all in fighting outdoors at like a stadium or fighting indoor like a traditional
venue? Yes, there is a big difference.
What is it?
Because when you're warmed up and you're walking from the dressing room to the ring, in an arena, in a 20,000 arena, it's like probably you are there in the ring, in the middle of the ring, in probably like 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
So at the soccer stadium, the way is so long. I mean, you keep walking and walking and walking. Where's the ring? And walking. And you go all through all these ways, and it's a pretty long walk. And, of course, you realize how much air all around you, and you feel the presence of 60,000 people. I think 61,000 people is the most capacity of the arena or stadium I had in my fighting history. And especially when stadium is not covered, because all of the modern stadiums, they have this moving roof. If it rains or whatever cold. But one time last year I was fighting against David Haye, and it was open stadium. And on July 2nd, it was so cold. We had to wear really kind of warm clothes.
Where?
It was in Hamburg.
Mm-hmm.
It was cold and it was rainy. We had to wear shoes. And first time in my life when I looked at David Haye in the ring, you know, I saw kind of like in the movies, you know, a horse in the winter, you have the steam comes, you know, mm-hmm. from the horse body. And it was kind of the same thing when I looked at my opponent. He was like all steamy. I never saw that before.
Do you find that your discipline serves you well as a fighter? Like I see a lot of heavyweights, especially, that get by on size and strength. But they're not disciplined. You know, they don't stay in great shape because there's no way in. They don't have to cut weight or anything like that. Their punches, I can tell when I see you guys throw that cross and how straight it is and how you want to loop it and you want to come wide with it, but you guys come right down the pike with that. And it's such a great, it covers so much ground and it's so effective, but it takes so much discipline to do that. Do you feel like your upbringing and your background and your discipline really help you in this game?
Yeah, as Emmanuel Stewart says, Latimer, your right hand is like a missile.
Yeah, straight, you know,
it's
not
straight,
looping.
Boom. You push the button, it flies, and I don't even think about it. You're right, you have to have discipline when you're in sport, and especially at the peak of your game, because you have so much competition. Even it looks one-sided, we're getting criticized for our fights, but we are studying our opponents and we're getting ready 110% if you want. And you are in the camp for like 6 weeks and you have to cut off everything out of your life. And that's why, you know, those boxers that are really committed to the sport, they are camping for 6 weeks.
Right.
I mean, they're waking up on the 10th every morning.
I just feel like there's a lot of guys that have the physical skills but don't have the mental capacity and the mental strength that you have. I wonder, is Ike Abeyabuchi out of prison yet, by the way? I know that sounds like a crazy, crazy name. Do you know that name?
Yeah. Of course, I saw his fights, and he was an exciting fighter.
Yeah, he was a tough, tough fighter.
What's his name?
Ike Abeyabuchi, or something.
You're making that up.
Something like that. And you guys, I'm telling you, that was a guy's name.
I think he was out of Nigeria.
Yes. And he was a tough, scary dude, and he just went to, you know, it's like beat on his old lady or robbed a liquor store or something like that. But he was a guy, he was like the Ernie Shavers in that, okay. He didn't have the belt, but nobody who had a belt wanted to fight him because he was a scary guy in the weight division. When's he eligible for parole?
May 1st, 2012.
Oh, that's coming up. Tell Mike August to book him. I want to know what Ike Abeyabuchi's been up to. Yeah,
so, you can come out to Spreckles.
Yeah.
So when you're when you're training, what's the thing that you miss the most that you have to cut out of your life?
I'm actually having a vacation while I'm in the training camp because my life is really full with action. I travel a lot and I do a lot. There's a lot of commitments and hectics and mm-hmm. everything. And that's why when I'm getting in the camp, it's like, yeah, it's a vacation. I sleep, I eat, I train on the schedule. And that's something is amazing. When you live on a schedule and not such a chaotic life that I have,
right?
It helps.
You're not traveling from time zone to time zone and all that stuff. And the only downside is his trainer mispronouncing his name constantly. Come on, Latimer, another mile. Come on, Latimer. You're dropping your left when you're throwing your right, Latimer.
Can you imagine the trainer trying to get him ready for his fight with Ike and Abega the Buddha?
Latimer, you're fighting. He'd find one badass dude. Ikebayabuchi. Come on. Yeah. Well, listen, Latimer knows Ikebayabuchi. And look, when that guy went to prison, every guy in the heavyweight division was like, thank Christ. Get the fucking guy out of here. He's a maniac. He scared people. He was probably a little before Vladimir's time. Just a little bit.
Yeah, he was right before, yeah.
But when he gets out, he'll be 39. And
but you know what? We had just recently, I would say, a real freak is Derek Chisora out of Britain, if you've seen this fight.
Yeah, it's a real tall guy.
With Vitaly. No, he's not tall.
Well, who's the British tall guy? Who's the super tall British?
He slapped my brother at the weigh-in, and then he spit water in my face.
Oh, yeah, right, yeah, that guy.
Fight
yeah.
started, and then they end up fighting with each other as Chisora and David Haye at the press conference, which was really kind of ridiculous. After, I was reading an article, you know, out of Britain, like Neanderthals. Seriously, I mean, at the press conference, it was ending up with glassing and David Haye glassed Chisora, and Chisora said, "Oh, you know what? I'm going to literally kill David Haye." And there was all international press and everything. Like, what are you talking about? I mean, this is ridiculous. This sport.
Like he's trying to hype the fight or hype himself, but I do believe I saw that fight. And you know, the thing about the Klitschkos are so good that they oftentimes make the other guy look bad, but it's hard to tell because you just go, oh, that other guy looks like shit, but it's sort of the Klitschkos making you look like shit because they're very disciplined boxers, especially for guys that their size. Most guys their size aren't nearly as disciplined as in their technique as the Klitschkos are. So this guy came out and he just looked flat against your brother, but maybe that was your brother making him look flat.
Well, I think it's even difficult to give any comment after Adam what you said. I mean, I'm barely melting, actually melting on my chair. And I told you before, I will accept those compliments from you. But
these are techniques. I'm complimenting.
But you sold them right.
Well, Adam and I both have a crush on you, but I feel like Adam's dwarfs mine, actually.
Well, thank you. I'm saying the longer, you know, boxing is a little bit like gymnastics. There's a reason why you don't see guys over 5'8", 5'9", doing gymnastics. You don't see anybody who's 6'4", doing gymnastics. The longer your parts get, the sloppier you look and the sloppier you get. And that's why when you watch boxing, you see these flyweights, their technique looks so crisp and so good. And then you see these huge heavyweights and you go, oh, these guys are just lumbering and, you know, leaning on each other. And for a guy the size of the Klitschko's 6'5", 6'6", to have the kind of technique they have is just a ton of training and a ton of discipline. All right, I'm going to start crying. Let's do the news.
Thanks.
The news without...
Wait, hold on.
Let's
do
the news.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The rest of the news with Allison Rosen.
Turns out that the salty fast food in America is even saltier than salty fast food in other countries. The Canadian Medical Association Journal looked at 6 fast food chains in 6 countries. Burger King, Domino's, KFC, McDonald's, Pizza Hut, and Subway were examined in Australia, Canada, France, New Zealand, the United Kingdom, and the U.S. And the results showed that our fast food industry was consistently delivering more salt per gram than the average.
Yeah, for example, we're number one, dude.
America's Chicken McNuggets have 2.5 times more salt than British McNuggets.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, fish and chips aren't that salty for what something we would douse those French fries and that cod, deep fried cod, with salt. And I've said it many times. I actually have to wash, like, I like smoked almonds, but I wash them off because they're too salty. And there's that conspiracy that people always said they're in cahoots with the beverage. Because the same company sometimes that make the chips make the soda as well, or at least maybe in bed with them, and you will have to take an extra hit off your beer or off your soda or whatever beverage you have to wash down that salt. And I don't know what it amounts to be, but it amounts to be quite a bit. So, and I don't know if it's the preservative part of it or
I think it's
what
just
it
the American
is.
Palate likes a lot of salt.
Yeah, but do we like a lot of salt or do we like a lot of salt because we're given a lot of salt and that's kind of what we know now?
Right.
But when you eat like Doritos or something, there's too much salt and there's too much salt on the nuts. There's too much salt on the chips. Everything is like 20% too much. And I have a lot to say about everything you'll find, Latimer.
Even humble and self-deprecating in front of them?
Even if you buy something pre-seasoned, like if you go to the store and you buy some chicken or some ribs pre-seasoned, and you're just going to cook it up. I tell my wife, wash it off. They put way too much of that salty, briny shit on it. It's overpowering. It's too much. I think it's part of being stupid. I think we're dumb. I've decided Americans are in a weird. You know what's weird?
Because of you.
Maybe this is it. Vladimir, what do you think about this concept? I've never really had this. I never spoke about this before.
Macaroni and cheese.
I think we're dumb. I think Americans are dumber than Europeans and probably dumber than Canadians and dumber than most of the rest of the world. But we have like 10 super smart guys that are twice as smart as their smart guys. So you average smart, but our top 10 may be smarter than your top 10, and they keep the rest of us kind of worked out.
Who are our super smarties?
We have like your Steve Jobs type. We have guys like that who like go, listen, dummies, I'll pick up the moron slack here.
Right.
We got a lot of like dope. So like, whereas I feel like in Germany, everyone's at a good solid level of we speak a couple languages and we can do math. Here, nobody does math, but we got one guy who does math really well. Yeah. And that'll cover it for us.
Yeah. Why are you looking at me like that?
are you a doctor? You have a degree, do you know?
I have a PhD degree.
A PhD. And it's like sports.
You're kicking ass.
It is.
It's sports science.
Yeah, and your brother has one as well, right?
Yes.
And you guys sit around playing chess all day.
Wait, what's his PhD in?
He's making fun of us now.
No, but
no, he's not.
You guys play chess, right?
Yes, we do.
You play chess, right?
Yes, we do.
Yeah, see, there you go.
That's
what I'm saying. Our heavyweights don't be the Chris Ariola.
No. Listen, Adam. You said, so what do you think about, you know, us Americans, are we dumb or dumber or whatever? I think you're so, because those guys, you know, and our guys, couple smart guys and better than those guys. So actually, these guys are those guys from over there, because come on, the history of the United States, we all know, you know, we have all the heritage and how many nations are living
true,
in the United
but we
States.
Come here, so, we eat high sodium diets and we get dumb.
Yeah. And listen, you can ask this question in from any country. Doesn't matter where it is.
You don't feel like in your home of Germany that there's not Florida, but yes, in Germany, that there's an education in general, just a sort of higher grade of education. Your average janitor in Germany has a higher grade of education than your average janitor in the United States, for instance.
Well, I have to tell you that every country has its own social system that either covers the education or not. And I want to tell out of my experience in Soviet Union that doesn't exist anymore. Education is what was number one. And doesn't matter what you do, you have to get education.
Maybe not anymore.
The Soviet Union doesn't exist anymore.
What's going on in the Soviet Union? Why is it so corrupt?
The former Soviet Union republics.
Sorry.
There is a lot of corruption.
Look how smart you are.
Look at it.
I know.
I wouldn't have corrected
you. Guys, I'm telling you, what are you doing?
He's got a good jab. He never gets punched in the head.
No.
I can give only kisses.
Yes.
No, I can give only kisses to you.
Why,
a jab probably to Adam. But
why all the crazy corruption that's going on?
But
over
you were talking about salt, and there is so much salt in the States and stuff. I'm you know, rewinding a little bit.
Yeah.
But, you know, if we talk about Brezel.
What?
I mean, Brezel. A German product. Come on.
What's Brezel?
See, we don't even know. We're ignorant of Brezel.
No, this is bread in the shape of Brezel.
Oh, it's pretzel.
Pretzel. I'm sorry. My pronunciation with that. You know.
No, it's pretzel. Weird pretzel. Provincial.
Yes.
Brezel. In German. So that's why, you know what, I just lost in the pronunciation. So please excuse me.
By the way, there's so much. Brezel thing is taking breasts and pretzels and combining them are like the two greatest things on the planet to put in your mouth and putting them together. That's
right.
Genius.
It's the
don't
size
apologize.
Of the
So the pretzel,
So
yes,
with the beer and salt and everything. Sure, sure. So I think that's in every country there are certain issues, and we can go forever in our conversations what is bad and what is wrong, what is good. But I have to tell you, listen, United States, that's where I'm right now, and we are as well. Only the program that, you know, if we talk about the space program, and the development of the all the IT technologies, that it's coming from the United States as well.
I think that's our 10 smart guys.
And there's a lot of things that actually people are picking up from the States and developing in their own countries. And of course, the world is global now. And United States is not only player, not the only player. There's European Union, there is China.
Yep.
I mean, if we really go into the economics, I mean, and we're going to face how much China owns, also United States,
right,
with the companies and products and all around the world. And India is there as well. I mean, we can go on and on and on and on.
You know, let me say this. The Klitschko brothers in the European Union are the Germany of the European Union, and the rest of the heavyweights are the Greece.
Oh.
You see what I'm saying? It's just not working as hard, taking too many vacation days, and now look what's happened. Overweight, sloppy.
It's unfortunately going to hurt also Euro. And as you know, I'm performing a lot in Europe.
Sure.
And I feel very bad about it that my last fight so far, hopefully not the really last fight, but last fight so far was in 2008 in Madison Square Garden. That was last time I was performing in the States, and I hope I'll be back by end of this year.
Mm-hmm.
But first I have to win the fight on July 7th,
sure.
And then, you know, then we'll face hopefully one of the fights and stage one of the fights here in the States.
I always had this question, I don't know why, but the Euro, and then there's the Greek sandwich that's the...
Oh, yeah.
Hero, oh, the hero.
That's a hero.
Yeah. But I'm saying, you know the sandwich I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know.
If you were buying that sandwich with euros, what would it sound like?
Gyros.
And then what's the sandwich called?
Gyros.
And then the currency's called?
Euros.
Yeah, see, I feel there'd be a lot of confusion.
I do.
A lot of people getting paid in sandwiches. Would be a lot of confusion. You're like, how do I ride the train? You need the euros. Well, I can't find a stand open at this time.
Right.
Like, it'd just be
and what
confusing.
Kind of wallet would you use?
To save Greece.
Delicious one.
To save Greek economy, Greece has to sell a lot of gyros.
Gyros.
Yeah, a lot.
Okay. All right. What else we got, Allison Rosen?
So, Adam, remember yesterday we were talking about penmanship, and you were saying Sonny is better at cursive than you are?
Yes, I'm horrible.
Well, you're going to feel worse about yourself, because here's a story about a first grader who's won a national penmanship award, but here's the thing. She was born without hands.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no.
Annie Clark, a 7-year-old at Wilson Christian Academy in West Mifflin, Pennsylvania, is one of two national winners of the Nicholas Maxim Special Award for Excellent Penmanship. Annie writes by wedging a pencil between her arms, which is the same way she feeds herself and even paints her toenails.
Mm.
The national award is one of two given to students with disabilities.
She's handling
it's incredible
that thing
how
like
she
Zorro.
Does it.
Not handling.
I know.
Yeah, she's stumping that thing like Zorro. Unbelievable.
But Annie had already won top penmanship honors among all the students at her school.
I would never stop rubbing that in my kid's face if they were in class with her. Yeah.
Isn't she so cute?
Yeah.
She is.
Next thing you know, she's going to kick your ass. It's tetherball, son.
It's just a waste of my time.
Oh, please. Wow.
Yeah. She won a trophy and $1,000. Now, what does a 7-year-old do with $1,000?
Mm.
By
Yeah.
I think her parents will find out what to do with that.
Yeah, I think they'll probably pocket that.
Right.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, you know, it's amazing what you don't want to have your hands removed at some point in life when you're operating a press.
It's true.
But if you're born with no hands, I feel like it barely slows you down. You see those guys that are born with whatever disability
yes.
they're born with, and they're just hopping around and getting around and doing all their stuff and jumping in the van and riding, and she's a calligrapher.
Yeah, and running on their weird metal leg, and then people are like, well, that's an unfair advantage because you don't get fatigued.
Yeah.
You know what? You're obviously missing something that you're losing, but if you never had it, so you have nothing to miss.
That's right.
I think that's kind of, if you're born with that, you kind of getting along. And we just saw it on the screen, how beautifully she handles the pencil and how she does it. It's
crazy. She was flipping it around
and using the eraser.
Unbelievable. All right.
See, I feel like even if I were born with no hands, I'd spend a lot of time being like, it's not fair. I have no hands. I'm not going to learn to write.
God gave me a mouth to complain, I feel like I'd be okay.
They can't take that away from you.
I'd just be complaining nonstop with the no hands business.
So here's an update to a story that we talked about. Starbucks has announced that it's going to stop using a dye made from crushed bugs in its strawberries and cream frappuccinos and other items after the ingredient prompted an outcry from customers.
It only took them a month to announce it.
Is that them? I mean, is that the folks taking to the street?
Evidently, yes. There's a banner that says "Stop Beetle Genocide." I didn't realize the reason people were upset about this is because of the poor bugs. I thought they were upset because it's disgusting. I was, at least.
Stop Beetle Genocide.
Starbucks.
The Jews must be delighted that they've decided to use genocide in with these insects. I'm not Jewish, but I would never stop being insulted when people throw around that thing where they, explain that this is a holocaust for salamanders and stuff like
that.
Like, it's like, shut up. My God. I mean, I'd never stop being insulted, and it gets tossed around very lightly.
Well, who believes in a holocaust, please?
For beetles. For beetles, for love of Christ. These people all are, this is a first world problem.
Yes.
This is one of those, you have no problems when you can take the day off work and take to the streets and start protesting something that no one gives a fuck about.
How do all those people get time off work?
I have no idea, but I got to tell you, when I'm in charge, I got a few plans. One, I'm going to round up all the deadbeat dads by saying free cockfight for Raiders fans. I'll get them all in the Coliseum, and I'll just start arresting them. And then I'll send my people out with these folks. What's up? Anyone here on disability? What are you going? Let me see some paperwork. Who here is on unemployment? I want to know who's on the dole here. And if I find out you're collecting a disability check or you're on unemployment, but you got all the energy in the world to take to the goddamn streets, you're off. You should be out looking for a fucking job.
Don't you want to know what they're going to use instead of crush bugs?
What are they going to use?
Lycopene. It's tomato-based.
Uh-huh.
And see, they said they used the bug dye, cochineal extract, because they wanted to be using natural ingredients. And yet lycopene was there the whole time.
Latimer, what's the diet?
He called me Latimer.
No, he called you.
I want you to get used to Latimer when you go into camp.
I see. Yes, I'm picking it up.
Can you please tell him Vladimir? It's Vladimir. It's not Lad the Impaler. It's Vlad.
I will not react. If a man is going to say Vladimir, I will not react. Like, who? What did he call?
What's the diet regimen once you get into camp?
It's basically, I have a chef from Pacific Palisades.
Sweet.
And, yeah. And he's doing great diet, and I mean, it's not really diet. I've ate a lot of meat and pasta and all the vegetables, no bugs, but...
You're allowed to eat what you want because you're working so hard?
Yeah, I can actually shovel in, cheesecake at 12 o'clock midnight, and I don't need to worry about anything because it's going to be burned out the next day, and I'm losing probably around 6,000 calories a day.
Wow. And is there a weight that you would like to come in at 247, something like that?
The thing is, no. I mean, yes and no. But I tell you what is going on with me. Actually, when I don't train, I'm losing weight. And I'm starting to train, I'm gaining weight. So I'm gaining probably like around 6 pounds. And it's all pure muscle. I'm sorry, but it's all pure muscle that I'm losing.
No
afterwards.
Apologies.
Yeah,
losing afterwards when I don't train. So it's really going pretty
fast. So what are you walking around at now?
Around like 238, I guess.
How many stone is that?
Still.
I hate when they give me the stone.
Yeah.
No one could figure out that goddamn stone. Someone's
but we're
tell
not in Britain,
people.
So.
Yeah.
Do Americans understand these measurements with stones?
And no, we don't.
I would argue that more people know what a league or a fathom is than a stone.
I would say that's true.
A stone is the most confusing thing ever. And, you know, we can do the kilogram weight because a lot of people do cocaine. And we know what a kilo is. You know what I mean? It's 2.3, 2.2 or something like that. I can basically do the kilo. The kilogram weight, that I can figure out. But the stone is an insane, archaic unit of measurement that has no place in today's boxing.
So a scale in England, does it give the readout in stones?
Yes. Yeah. And it'll give you change in gravel if you've lost weight.
Yeah. But
do they have stone? Like the Flintstone scale? Like, how many stone are you? Do you know? You're probably at least 18 stone.
18 times?
I don't know.
I was stoned 18 times.
I don't know what that is.
No, but it's actually funny that the world is so different. And you got stones, you got kilos. What else you got?
So you'll,
pounds.
Farthings.
You'll walk around at like 238 or something like that, but you'll go into the ring at 245, 246.
Yeah, some of that.
Something like that. Is Vitaly, is he a little bit heavier?
He's a little bit heavier and taller. He's 1 inch, which is 2 centimeters, which is almost two of my fingers.
No, that's it.
Yeah, he's taller than I, and he's older than I, and he's stronger than I, and I'm so glad to have such a bad ass brother.
Yeah, he is. He is.
Are you guys competitive at all?
We're very competitive. Very competitive. We are actually so competitive that we probably really, I don't want to say this world kill each other, but we will not definitely. But we're so competitive because we want to show each other that I'm better than you.
Mm-hmm.
That was at the beginning. So later on, we got more sensitive and we're more respectful and we're like giving space for each other. Okay, so you're better in this area. You're going to cover this. I'm better in this area. I'm going to do this. So we kind of really adding value to each other. And that's why we're brothers. That's why we're one team that is conquering right now heavyweight division. And I'm really happy about it to have brother as a mate, as a teammate. And in the history of boxing in the heavyweight division, it was never before. So I'm really glad to have my brother in the game.
I think that I think Marvin Hagler had a half brother. You guys got to look this one up. And he wouldn't fight him, by the way. But I think Hagler, of course, there's the Spinks brothers who fought for a little while. And I think they both ended up with a belt at some point. Leon didn't last that long, and then Michael was made pretty short work of with Tyson, like, I don't know, minute and 38 seconds or something, like, into the first round. But, Robbie Sims. Yeah, he was a pretty good middleweight, and he was, it was Marvin Hagler's half-brother, is that right? Yeah, yeah. Remember that?
Do you have siblings?
I have a sister, and okay. we don't care if we disappoint our mother. That's evident.
Okay, well,
and
sister,
we will throw down at any time. And Lauren, if you're listening, bring it.
Yeah.
You know where to find me.
It's a big payday.
It's pretty. It's certainly emotionally be satisfying. And you know, I don't duck any sibling. You know, that's my whole thing. I say it to my dad. I say it to my mom. Say it to cousins. I say it to my cousin Greg, who's living in Simi Valley. I say it to my sister, "You want some? You know where to get it." Latimer's seen my stuff. He knows I can handle my shit.
Yeah, definitely.
But, you know where to find me?
Yeah, I. You know what? I have to tell you something. It's pretty much the same thing that I see in the relationship with my brother. We're really competitive, but we are definitely so supportive, and we're going to defend whatever it is, you know, for each other. And definitely if you're going to turn the other way around, if somebody's really touched your family, I mean, it's really kind of emotional thing. When I saw David Haye cutting hat of my brother.
Right.
So David Haye was representing himself, you know, on a t-shirt that he cut both heads of the brothers, and he was standing on the bed, that bloody bodies, and representing himself as the winner. I mean, I got really emotional, you know.
Right.
It was really personal. And I'm really competitive with my brother, but don't touch my brother. You know, it's very personal, and it's.
I don't think you have to worry about too many people fucking with your brother. Seeing how he's 6'7" and 80 stone.
Well, Adam's like that. If someone says something negative about his mom or dad, he gets very angry.
Those fighting words. Yeah. Yeah. My sister and I were due to, I hate to say it, we were going to fight at the end of last year, but I wanted to go with the I wanted to go with the ringside gloves, and she wanted to go with the Reyes gloves, the Mexican gloves, because she's a puncher. You know what I mean?
And you couldn't see.
We couldn't agree. We couldn't agree on the gloves and the size of the ring, and the fight. The fight was off. She wanted a small ring and the Reyes gloves. She wanted to go with a 10-ounce Reyes and an 18-foot ring. Figured cut me off and drop me. And my thing was, I was going to get up on my. I was going to go on my horse and move around and jab and really use my movement and my age to really outpoint her. And we just couldn't come together on it.
But, you know, thankfully, your mouth is a moneymaker. Your mouth is a moneymaker. And you know what? You can hit with your mouth harder than with a fist.
That's right.
I assure you that.
Yeah, I got a moneymaking mouth. I like my mouth called the moneymaker.
Jesus Christ.
All right, give us one more story.
All right. I don't know what your homes look like, but for a lot of people trying to figure out where to put the TV and DVR box and not having a whole bunch of cords all over the place, creating what I call a cord spaghetti, is a problem. IKEA is addressing this conundrum by offering something called the Oopleva, which is an all-in-one TV and piece of furniture with everything built in. And here's a woman with a delightful Swedish accent explaining
what
it.
What the hell? Is that that little piece of skin that connects your tongue to the bottom?
Yep.
Your mouth.
Your Oopleva.
All right, let's see it. Oh.
In a very different way. We integrated a DVD and a Blu-ray player as well as the speakers and the furniture. The subwoofer is wireless and can easily be placed wherever you want it. Cables? Gone. They all disappear in the back, never to be seen again. And you can also get it with extra storage to make room for your other electronics. Of course, the front lets signals from your remote control through. And all this stuff is so good that we gave it a 5-year guarantee included in the price.
And it's about $960.
Smart. Yeah. I build my TVs into my wall, and then I just put all the junk in the wall behind the behind the stuff.
Yeah, I've seen yours. You have like that cool, looks like a big picture frame.
Yeah.
So it's like a big painting.
Yeah, put them in the wall, and then you can use a sort of magic eye that can control all the stuff. But yeah, it does suck. And we will go completely wireless at some point, but I don't think we're quite there.
I wish we could go there now because
cords
are such an eyesore.
Yeah.
And they're all over my house. Like, I'm not very organized with tucking them places, and it's just a big jumble.
I'll tell you one of the problems with being successful. You're able to hire some AV guy, Latimer, to come to the house, and he's going to wire the whole place up, right? Mm. And he's telling you a bunch of bullshit. He's going to go, if you're out by the pool, okay, let's say you're up in your master bedroom. And you're watching a show. Mm. You can then walk down to the pool, hit one button on this universal remote, and the same TV show will show up out by the pool.
In the water.
All right. And let's just say there's two shows and you want to tape them at the same time. You can actually have one show showing in the kitchen and another show showing. And it sounds like the greatest thing in the world. And then he shows you a universal remote and he goes, you hit this one button, just the one button on top. Curtains close, the thing comes down, little talc dumps down your underpants.
Ooh, nice.
Your seat reclines.
Automatic ball talc, right?
And Scarface fires up right at the point that you like it most. And then the guy says, that'll be $80,000. And then he leaves. Then you go home and you go, we're watching a movie tonight. You press one button, nothing happens. You hit another button, the batteries fall out of the bottom. And then at some point, you're aiming the thing at the wrong direction and you're shaking it and you're pointing and you're hitting. And then you have to call the guy and he asks you super stupid questions like, are you hitting the power button? Is the unit on? And you're like, yes, it doesn't work. It doesn't do shit. I went to my master bedroom. I walked out by the pool. There was snuff porn being played on it. It doesn't work. It never works. And then the guy makes 80 trips back to your house. It magically works when he comes back to your house. And then you kind of feel stupid. And then he leaves again. And nothing works again.
That's a waste of my time.
You are so damn right about it.
I thought
it just me.
No, every rich person has this hell.
I have this multifunctional super
doesn't
super,
work on
you know, remote control, yes. And you know this guy is like you know in the apartment or house or whatever, and he's like, okay, give me this wireless cable. So I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Sometimes I think they really don't know what they're talking about.
A lot of promises. This is a thing where our kids will enjoy this one day. We're all guinea pigs,
right,
paying through the nose and being experimented on, and it's all a cruel joke. And the worst part is you get the whole theater with the surround sound and the whole thing, and you're like, I'm having a Star Wars party. I am having 20 of my closest
right. Just
friends
show
over.
What this baby can do.
Smash cut to you pushing the same button over and over again. Sesame Street's up on the big screen. The screen's like halfway down. It's retractable. It's not going back up. And you're on the phone with the guy leaving a frantic message onto his machine.
What level of income makes one decide to outfit their whole home in this, though? Because I haven't given it a lot of thought. But now that I think about it, every rich person's home I've been into, there's something where they dial some sound system into the wall and it's all hooked up to their computer
and it's
everything you're saying.
There's the promise of, let's say you're out to eat, but you want to turn the heat on and the lights in the entryway, mm-hmm, and you want to warm up the jacuzzi because you're coming home. Well, all you do is fire up your smartphone and hit 6 pound, 7 pound, and it's like, wow.
And you can type in the degree right there.
And then But the last sentence needs to be, none of this shit will ever work. It will never, ever, you'll never do it. It'll never happen.
And there's no guarantee with it, right?
It just...
You can never get your money back?
You can never get your money back because it will work when the dude shows up. Then it works, and then you'll write it down. You're going to, hold on a second. So... I hit the power, then the pound, then *67, then the drapes go down and the screen comes down, and that's when you do it and it doesn't work.
And it's all about ego.
That's
so
right.
So it's all about nice to have, like your car is fan and you're doing it too. So, and you driving a car, for example, Mercedes 63, so which
right,
is like horsepower, like 600 horsepower, I guess.
Getting close.
And you're driving, right, and you're driving maximum 60 miles an hour. That's
right,
what you, or 70 maybe in the States, right?
That's
the maximum you can.
65.
Officially,
yeah.
Maybe 65.
Right.
So, and
no,
you're never using
here
it. You're never using it. You're in the city and you go from one light to the other. And that's it. And you probably accelerate to 40 miles an hour. And that's it. 35, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So this is it. Nice to have, you know, but nice sound.
Yeah.
But you don't really using it.
And it's also
the same situation with the Technic.
Yeah. And then now the latest band of bullshit they do is like the voice activated thing. So you just come home and you yell, entertain me. And a screen will come down and the shades will whatever. Or you just come into the bedroom and yell, I'm bored. And you'll feel a warm sensation on your genitalia. And nothing happens. Nothing. This guy's going to be laughing.
Try iPhone, the 4S iPhone?
I got to try. Oh, this.
Oh, serious?
That works. Siri. That works. I don't know how it works with your accent. What language do you speak to it in?
I'm speaking English right now.
And that's what you go into the phone?
Yeah.
Does it understand
an English accent?
Okay.
Ukrainian, whatever it is.
Right.
You know, it doesn't matter.
What about Emmanuel Stewart when he has to call Latimer?
No,
do you think it knows?
It's
got to be confused.
This is Detroit
right?
accent.
He's going, Latimer. I said Latimer. And it doesn't know what the fuck to do at that point. All right. Where the hell were we? Bring it home, baby girl.
That's the news. I'm Allison Rosen. Zip it, cunt.
That was the news with Allison Rosen.
Latimer, you play an instrument?
Yes.
I knew it. See, there's so
Why?
Much. Because you're smart. You play chess.
You're well-rounded.
You think Ike Abeyabuchi plays an instrument? What do you play?
I play a little bit of guitar and I play a little bit of drums.
Really? I like that. And something we got to give Vladimir.
Whoa.
We got to give him the man great. You want to work out, baby. All you have to do is lift this thing up. You ever do any grilling?
Yeah.
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 You have that.
George Foreman grill?
No, this one's better.
Weber?
This one's better. Feel this, baby. Feel that.
Wow.
And feel the weight. Feel the heft.
What is in it?
Yeah. 100% made in America. Detroit iron, baby. Wow.
That's right. That's what we call
it. Think
it.
That's a
cast iron steakhouse quality grilling right in your own backyard.
I see. Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much. Listen,
nothing better when you're doing altitude training.
I bet that's Emmanuel told you that I really grill a lot, right?
Did he? You do?
Probably. I don't know.
And that thing is the best. If you're going to grill or drill, you want to use the Man Grate. $20. Can you believe that's $20? I don't know. What is it?
Seems too cheap.
13 euros or something.
This one?
Yeah.
Oh, the grill?
Yeah.
My grill?
$20 for that Man Grate right there.
For that one.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's cheap. I think so. It's cheap.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But you can get 20. No, listen. You can get a grill set and everything with the grill for $20 too, I guess.
Yes, but you put that on top of it, and now you've got a grilling system. All right, Vladimir, this has been a little slice. Come back anytime you like.
Thank you so much. Be careful what you're saying, because I'm going to come back.
Tell your brother come back and say hi before his next big fight as well.
Thank you so much for having me. It was such a great honor to be involved in this show. I hope you had fun and understand my accent.
I'm a big, big fan. And Vladimir's fighting against Tony Thompson. That's July 7th in Sweden. Watch it on Epix. Epix website, Klitschko.com, and you can Twitter him at Klitschko. Only a few more days to vote in the iTunes Facebook poll, by the way. We're leading, but let's stay out there as the number one comedy podcast on iTunes. You can click through the link on our site at AdamCarolla.com. And my book coming out. And pre-order book plates, by the way. I think we only have 3,000 of these things. Oh, God. I have to sign all these things. 3,000 of them, and I think we may have sold 2,000 units already. But anyway, not Taco Bell material coming out, so you can pre-order that at Amazon. If you're going to Amazon, remember, click on through our website, hit the banner, and keep the pirate ship afloat. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Vladimir Klitschko, Allison Rosen, and Bald Brian saying mahalo. I'm having a Star Wars party.
Mahalo.
Huh?
Today's episode is brought to you by Geico, because Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? And we all know the answer. Of course you would. After all, who doesn't love a great deal, right? And when it comes to great rates on insurance for all the things in your life, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with the homeowner's condo or renter's coverage. You could save even more with a special discount when you bundle your coverages. Plus, add the easy-to-use Geico mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more. And choosing to switch to Geico becomes an easy choice. In fact, how easy is it, Gio?
Well, Chris, it's Geico easy.
It certainly is. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. Simply go to geico.com. to get a rate quote, or contact your local agent and get started seeing how much you could save. And that's Vladimir Klitschko, back in 2012. Incredible boxer. And yeah, I don't remember Vitaly ever being on either, but we'll have to dig deep into the archives if that really did
happen. It's hard not to mix two super handsome, tall, giant, genius, best boxers on the planet brothers. It's like, oh yeah, I'm sorry I confused you with your equally handsome, talented brother.
Yeah, see? Very possible. All right, well, that will do it for today's episode of Carolla Classics, but have no fear. We'll be back tomorrow with our Sunday episode. And if you want to hear that, subscribe to the Carolla Classics feed and get that, and we'll see you there. My name's Chris Loxamana. That's Superfan Giovanni.
Follow and get it on.
All this month, stream the funniest films for free on Pluto TV. Watch comedy classics like Anchorman, The Legend of Ron Burgundy, and Mean Girls. Or drop in for a Tyler Perry marathon with a Madea family funeral and Madea's witness protection. Pluto TV also has hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and TV shows like Get Shorty, Be Cool, Key and Peele, Comedy in Color, and more. And no contracts, no subscriptions, no fees, no joke. So download the Pluto TV app on your favorite streaming device and start laughing today. Pluto TV, drop in, watch free.
Today's